With me, if you will, to Daniel chapter 1 this evening. Committed to God. Believe that today in America, one of the areas that we is lacking and is hurting our country is this matter of commitment. We see it in every range, whether it's in the home, the commitment isn't there in the home today like it once was. You know what? We look at our local churches and we find that today it's a lack of commitment. We look in that of the workplace. Once again, you talk to any employers, or maybe you are an employer here this evening. I've heard men say time and again, all I'm looking for is some committed people to do their job that I can rely, I can depend upon. A lack of commitment. And this evening, that has stirred in my heart, that of the matter of being committed to God. If your car started only once out of three times, do you consider it to be faithful? If the paper boy takes and he skips your house two or three times a week, or maybe would you consider him to be faithful? If you fail to show up to work two or three times a month, would your boss say, you know what, that guy's a faithful guy? If your water heater greeted you with a cold shower, you know, once or twice a week, would you consider that to be a faithful water heater? What if you miss church once or twice a month, attend Sunday school whenever, and notion strikes you, give a little here, give a little there to the church, but you'd never get involved in the work itself. Do you think the Lord would consider you to be a faithful servant of His? You see, the Bible has a lot to say about being faithful. This evening, I'd like to look at one individual who was found faithful along with three of his friends. From Daniel's life, we see four elements to being faithful. See, the year was 604 BC. Jehoiakim had been king of Judah for about 3 years. When King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem, he came with the intent to take over Jerusalem. We see this in verse 1 and 2. We won't read those verses, but we find that that is recorded. I do want to draw your attention, though. For we find that King Nebuchadnezzar was victorious. But notice in verse 2 that it was God who gave them over to Nebuchadnezzar. Know about you, but as I mentioned this morning, I love taking and I jot down, I underline key phrases. And that's a key phrase right there. For in verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. The Lord did it. To make sure that Judah stayed submitted to the Babylonians took all of the people who were of importance in verse 3 and verse 4. What they did is that the king took and he treated them very nicely. In fact, he provided a place for them to stay in there at the palace. He provided them with a part of his food in verse 5. But you see, the only problem was with that is that this meat was unclean according to that of the Mosaic law. In verse 6, now among them are these men that were brought in were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Here in verse 6, Daniel and his three friends come onto the scene. They were chosen to go through this king's training course. We find there that it lasted for about 3 years. The thing that we want to see this evening in gathering our thoughts about this and being committed to God is this one thing. It will be interesting to see how Daniel and his three friends handled this matter. By the way, you and I are put into situations, circumstances, time and again. Throughout the course of a week, amen? How are we going to handle the circumstance? What are we going to do with these things? Will he eat of the king's meat as offered to them? Or will he trust God and his word to see him through? That's the question. That's the question that you and I are posed to every day of our life. Will we trust God, or will we give in to the circumstances that we're placed in? With that in mind, let's look at our passage that I want to direct our thoughts toward in Daniel chapter 1. Beginning with verses 8 through verse 11, Daniel purposed in his heart to serve God. That's the first element to being faithful to God. Daniel purposed in his heart to serve God. Right away we see Daniel took the most important step in his walk with God. And by the way, that's the most important step that you and I will take. Will we purpose? Will we trust God? Yes, we say it in our mind. We hear it and it comes out in our mouth. But will we do it in our heart and our actions carried out? Verse 8, he says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Once again, as a young man, as I was looking in, and as God has given me these verses, and I've often come back to encourage myself, I've underlined this phrase, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. He had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. We find, and time won't allow us, but in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14 and 15, instructions given to them that they were not to partake of it. It was Daniel's desire to serve God at all times. It was the Lord's test. Was this the Lord's testing of Daniel and his three friends' commitment? We look at those things and we stop and realize that you know what? We say that, yes, God, I love you and I want to serve you. And God says, okay, let's see it. I'm from Missouri. Missouri is what? The show me state. Show me. Show me what you know what? Actions speak louder than what? Words. Show me. I gotta see it in action. Here we find that Daniel said, you know what, God, I love you so much. Now I'm gonna show you. I'm not even gonna take and partake of this food here. You see, according to the Mosaic law, the Jewish people were not to eat anything that was prepared by a Gentile. The reason was because the Jews thought the Gentiles were unclean people. We also see that the Babylonian wine here was much stronger than that of the Jew, that what the Jews would take and use themselves. In fact, it is believed that the Jews would take and dilute their wine anywhere from 3 to 10 parts water to 1 part wine. Understanding that, it was diluted, it was not intoxicating. Today, one of the things we're being bombarded in churches today is this matter of social drinking. Is it okay for believers to, you know, occasionally drink of that? I want to tell you, God's Word is very clear about the abstinence of alcohol. But wait a second, I had men come to me that was in my church there for a while and says, but wait, look here, God said this wine. I said, no, let's go back and let's see what the word is in the reading of it. Because it was not intoxicating. God would never contradict himself. In fact, this is what God said in Isaiah through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 5:11. He gives us some strong warning to those who drink strong drink. He says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that they continue until night, till wine inflame them. Therefore, because of these two things, the preparation of the food and the drink, Daniel and his friends had to make a decision. They were at a crossroads in their life. Were they going to take and follow God and serve Him? Or were they going to take and compromise and be like the rest of the Jewish children? I say all of this is because as believers, we are faced with the same problems as Daniel and his three friends. Are we going to serve God or are we going to serve the king? The king. We don't have kings. I understand that. But I tell you what. So I stopped and I thought about the kings of my day. Are the kings like that of friends, of TV, of that of bowling teams, of sporting events? The list goes on and on. Those are kings that take control of my, am I going to serve God with all my heart or am I going to serve the king? Begin to see the picture unfold right here. In the last part of the verse 8, Daniel requested to see that of the prince of the eunuch. It was the prince of the eunuch who was in charge of hearing these types of cases. He was known as that of the chief court official. Daniel realized, and by the way, there's a lesson for us to learn. You know, sometimes when dealing with people and you talk with them and you have a problem with a piece of merchandise or product, what do? You go, you pick up the phone or you go into the store, you talk to the clerk, you talk on the phone to that individual. And the individual says, you know what, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. What do we do? Some of us that are bold enough, someone says, well, wait a second. Let me talk to the supervisor. Where's your supervisor at? Right? We know that we have something that we aren't pleased with as a product and we want to get it resolved. So what do I do? So let me go to the supervisor. Here, that's what Daniel does right here. He goes to the eunuch. The eunuch is one that was in charge of them and to hear these cases out and he begins talking with them. Verse 9. Now God, by the way, if you're underlining, now God, look at this. Look what's happening right before our very eyes. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. Wow. Daniel comes before the chief official, seeking exemption from eating of the king's meat, the drink. But what I want us to see right here in verse 9 is that God was already at work. Was it an accident? Was it a coincidence? Was it a mere chance that this happened right here? No! It was God at work. I don't know about you, but that excites my heart. You see, God, when He calls us to do something, mark this down. He will equip you to do what He calls you to do. Every time. We seek Him. Here, He comes. But God had prepared Him. It was no accident. He knew what was going to transpire. Just like God already knows our course, folks. Are we going to be committed to Him? Are we going to trust Him? Yeah, I can trust God. You know, by the way, I just want to say this. It's interesting. I find it quite humorous that people can trust God for their future eternal life, but they have a difficult time trusting God day by day. verse 10. The prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me in danger my head to the king? Wow. Here we have the eunuch's response. He said, Daniel, I'd like to exempt you from the food and the drink of the king, but I value my life and my job. Besides, by the way, in verse 10, we find there, he says, by the way, your other countrymen, they're eating and they're drinking of the king's food. Why can't you and your friends? How many times do we hear that? That argument. Well, other Christians are doing it, so why don't you do it? You've heard that before? Huh? Yeah. Amen is right. We do hear that. And we do hear, and you know what? We are so soon succumb to that, and we take that in, and we bow down instead of standing up. Daniel was a man that was used of God mightily, folks. But he purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. God has saved each one of you and me for a purpose. And that is to do His will and to do His work. Are you going to trust Him? But pastor, you don't understand. I don't like to be put in the light. You know what? I'm afraid what somebody's going to do. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to take it. They're going to think I'm weird. Let them think it. The eunuch says, hey, can't you make it easier? These other men of yours are eating it. Just take and eat it. It'll be okay. Well, it won't. Because it was against God's command. According to the last part of the verse, if he was caught not obeying that of the king's command, what was it? The consequence was the head. Can't do much with the head gone, can you? Men is life. You see, life was cheap in Babylon. The prince valued his life. So Daniel left it at that. Notice what he did. He said, you know, can we go wrong with asking? Can we not say, hey, you know what? Let's take, if God is God, and God's able to do the impossible, which the scriptures tell us, right? With God, nothing's impossible. If that's the case, let's let God take care of this. He didn't keep on badgering him. He responded. He understood. He left it at that. He went back to thinking. He went back to praying. How he would get around not defiling that of his body. Verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. After thinking about it, a little longer, Daniel and his three friends went to the man whom the prince had placed over him. This time, the Lord had given Daniel a plan. You know, if I'm going to be committed to God, I need a not only purpose in my heart, but secondly, I must have a plan in place. You see, we're going to be faced with things in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have circumstances and situations, and the devil himself is going to take and he's going to set up plans for us and scenarios and settings. And here's the little truth that you want to take and put it away. It's this, folks. If we don't have a plan set for God before they come, we won't be able to enact that plan. Got to be thinking ahead. Daniel did that. Thought, I got a plan. By the way, Daniel realized it wasn't his plan. It was what the Lord had for him in verse 12 and verse 13. Prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servant. In these two verses, Daniel lays out his plan before Melzar. As believers, we ought to have a plan set up for that of facing trials. You know what? The plan may be simple as this. Praying for God's strength to make the right choice. Plans may include, I have portions of scriptures. By the way, great opportunity in the front of your Bible, on a piece of paper, to begin to jot down verses, key verses. Because we know that we're going to be faced with trials. Amen? Every one of us are going to be faced with trials. Now then, how do I face those trials? The Word of God gives me answers to that. It doesn't only provide salvation, but the one thing about God, once again, when I said, when God takes and He calls us to do something, He enables us to do it. Promises such as Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Or what about that of we find there in the Scriptures. What time I'm afraid in Psalm 56 and verse 3 and 4. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. I will not fear what man or flesh can do unto me. Or the promise in Hebrews, where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, I have to have a plan in order before I can implement it. You cannot wait till the trial is there and say, Lord, I need help. Because I'll tell you what, if you wait every time, you will succumb. You will fail. You'll give in. We know where our weaknesses are, don't we? So we ought to have verses there. You know where God's working in your life. So we need to have verses. As I was sharing with you this morning in Sunday school, that of cursing was one of the things there that God had. You know, I praise the Lord that God kept me from that of alcohol. I've never had alcohol. That of the smoking, it was not a thing. It was raised around it, but I did not have part of those things. But you know what? One of the things was that God had in my life was that of my mouth and control of my mouth. But you know what? I had to begin to take and I had to hide verses. I had to have those verses right there on my fingertip. And when those words came out, God, I am so sorry. God, help me to think on those things that are pure, just, lovely. I'm good report. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. James talks about bridling of the tongue. Gathering it, holding on to it. No, I don't walk around with my fingers holding onto my tongue, but you know what? I take control of that tongue. He gave me passages such as 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, to take and to bring my body into subjection, to have control of my body, control of this tongue. I share with you that God wants to do that in your life too. Whatever the trial is. I'm a human being. I'm no different than you. Oh, you're a pastor. You've been in the Bible college. You have all this, artillery and that of these things here. And so you can overcome these. No, I'm a human being. But I tell you what, by the grace of God, God can do some amazing things if you allow Him to do that. Not only purpose in His heart, He also had a plan. A plan to carry out. Here goes to the king, Belzar. He says, hey, this is what I'd like to have done. You know, it's no different than that of a football player, a quarterback and a receiver. Oh, by the way, congratulations. They are in order. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm a diehard Chiefs fan. But I am humbly conceding and congratulating the Green Bay Packers as world champions. But you know what? It is vital for a football team to win is to take and to have the quarterback and the receivers on the same game plan. Amen? Because if you don't, it's not going to happen. Verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Elzar was willing to give them a chance to prove themselves. Once again, remember, this could mean his life. His head was on the line. Folks, you know, God gives us a chance to prove ourselves faithful to Him. I wonder this evening, are you giving 100% to serving Him? If you're not, why not? You ought to be. The third element that we find right here is found in verses 15 and verse 16. Daniel not only purposed in his heart, he not only had a plan, but we find here that Daniel put to practice what he had purposed in his heart. You say, Pastor, that's pretty simple. That's basic. Duh. I say this because you know what? There's many that know what to do, but don't do what they know they ought to do. Notice in verse 15 and verse 16. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Malzahar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. The contest was on. Who was going to win? Daniel and his three friends or the king's men? Daniel not only had a purpose and a plan, but now we see that he was putting them into practice. Oftentimes we start out with a purpose, much like that of Daniel's. We purpose to serve God. Well, remember, as I shared with you this morning, I was saved at 13, but I remembered when I was 15, I said, "Lord, here I am. I wanted to do whatever you want me to do." I dedicated, I surrendered my heart, and I said, "Lord, do what you want to do. Use me as you see fit." Many start out to serve the Lord. We will even go as far as setting up some plans. With these plans, we have good intentions to fulfill them, but then obstacles. Those obstacles come along. Now, maybe you don't have that problem, but I know in my life that that's what happened there. I had obstacles that came. Was I going to be faithful to God? Was I going to walk with Him? Was I going to do what He wanted me to do? Or were those obstacles going to sideline me? I did cross country for a year, and I did a year of track in high school. Those hurdles. Never did do that. I couldn't get those legs working right there to come over those things, but I was relay and long distance running. But you know what? I've seen many of people clear those hurdles in phenomenal time. But I've also seen many of them that were sidelined and knocked out of the race because of obstacles in the way. Sometimes we find ourselves saying, "God, you know what? I'm purpose. I'm here. I'm on board. I'm ready to go." But we find ourselves sidelined because of obstacles that have gotten in the way. We've lost sight of it. Daniel wasn't letting anything get in his way. He was focused. He was purposed. He had a purpose. And that was to do what the Lord wanted him to do. In these two verses, we see the result of what happens when we put into practice what we plan. Daniel and his three friends won hands down. In fact, the verse tells us that they appeared to be fairer and fatter. Wow. 10 days. A pulse was that of a mess there of meat. It was just a vegetative of a grinder there type thing. Yet they provided. The point that we see is that of God's provision, God's caring. Isn't our God sufficient to care for all of our needs? Malzahar removed the king's food and gave everyone pulse to eat. Here's the lesson that I'd like for you to take away with you. And it's simply this. When God's people does God's plan, God's way, God will provide the victory. Let me say that once again. When God's people does God's plan, God's way, God will provide the victory. Finally, we see Daniel's persistence paid off in verses 17 through verse 21. For we find there in 17 through 21, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the day of the days that the king had said and he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuch brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realms. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. You see, persistence paid off. Look at those things. God rewarded them for being faithful and standing up for what it was the right thing and not giving up. By the way, folks, God will reward you as well according to your faithfulness unto Him. He rewards them with wisdom and knowledge, giving them learning of all skills. What more could one ask for? He gave Daniel understanding of visions. In other words, he is able to interpret dreams. By the way, God knew that he would need those in special occasions. Just like God knows what we are going to face and what we need. We find there in verse 20. And in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, once again, if you underline, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realms. Isn't that just like God when we're faithful? Isn't it just like God to take and to put us in places, raise us up to take and to do things? Coincident? Accident? Absolutely not. Faithfulness, commitment to doing what is right. What we need today more than ever in these last days are folks like you that will be committed to God in His ways, no matter what. Moms, dads, you know what our children need? Our moms and dads that are committed to God in His ways, to show them the way, to teach them, to lead them, to instruct them. Young people, you're the future of our churches. You know what we desperately need? We need young men and women that will be committed to God, saying, no matter what, God, your way is the right way, and I am seeking you and you only. He had a purpose. He had a plan. He put it into practice. And last of all, he was persistent. And his persistence paid off. It goes on to say that the king provided them with great gifts. Placed them in prominent places. Why? Because they were committed to God in his ways.